In Colossians chapter 3, reading from verse 16 this evening. Colossians chapter 3, reading from verse 16. I want to title the message, as you can see on the board up here, Duck Dynasty Christmas Album. And I was in a Baptist bookstore Wednesday of this week, and I held the CD up to the cashiers and someone else in there, and I said, "This CD is blasphemy. It's full of carnality and some of the country stars, music stars that are singing on this. They curse on stage and sing about drinking and committing adultery and those kind of things." And then they just stood there with their mouths open, and I said, "Have a blessed day," and I left. And that's exactly how I feel about this CD. Notice with me as we read from verse 16 this evening. Bear with me. Preaching this evening is a lot different than what we've done this morning. I'm going to stay very close to some notes I've got here so that I can stay on track. Got a lot of quotes that I'll give you this evening. But he says here in verse 16, the Lord says to us, he said, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Now, Father, we thank you again this evening for the privilege that you've given us to assemble together. And we ask, Lord, your anointing and blessing upon the reading of thy word. And we pray, Lord, tonight that you speak to our hearts, which in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you can be seated. Back in September, the 27th of this year, we preached a message titled Duck Dynasty. We dealt with music, modesty, and ministry. And we have been able to help many through this. There's been at least 300 down, or close to 300 downloads already. And we've had much good response from the message. I've got a response today, as a matter of fact, from Nebraska. And a very nice email, basically a letter, and speaking on this subject. Now, as we come here to this passage, I want to begin here in Colossians. I want to spend a little bit of time in this particular chapter. And you say, what is the purpose of addressing this? Well, it's not to, as I said before, not to criticize the family, the show, or the country music artists that participate in this album. But many come to me and they ask my opinion about this. I'm as you are. I didn't know the show existed until not long ago. And because I'm not interested in watching television. And people will ask me, what do I think about it? What is your opinion? Will you look at this? Will you address this? And so I want to warn Christians that you and I may be able to help others in this subject, to caution them to not sin against God. Someone may say, well, you're judging. God has already judged. We don't have to judge on this. He already has. I believe that Duck Dynasty, the family, I believe they're leading many astray into carnality, worldliness, lasciviousness, foolishness, and I believe even immorality. When you consider their music, as we've already really preached on a few months ago, when you consider their music, the modesty issue, the tobacco issue, I did not address that, the jesting, the greed, the covetousness, the men wearing, most of them, the long hair, speaking in pulpits, and some of them even have sang in bars. When you put all of this together, and now, as of the last few weeks, they're selling wine. And we wrote an article 10 years ago, titled Wine, subtitled Drunkenness. The Bible is very clear that wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And in this article, we put a lot of verses in here, in Old and New Testament. And the Bible is very clear. It says, "Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink and putteth thy bottle to him and maketh him drunken also, that thou mayest look at their nakedness." That's in Habakkuk chapter 2 and in verse 15. This family in the past at least two or three of them in the family has had issues with drunkenness. And here they are now producing wine, and it's being sold in many places around our country. Now, when we come to this subject, I have to say to you, as far as myself, that my Savior is very precious unto me. He's very precious. And I am jealous for His name, especially when I hear His name blasphemed. I love the Word of God. Christianity is not a game to me. Jesus Christ means everything to me. He is my Savior, my Lord, and my Creator. And I know what country music is all about. And this album, I'm going to show you in just a moment, got the outline on the board, I'm going to show you in just a moment that it's all about country music. And I know what country and rock music is all about. You've heard me say this before. I was raised in country music. My father sang in a band. He was on stage many Friday and Saturday nights. My brother played bass guitar. He was on stage a lot. Him and I were just talking about this the other day. And so we were raised up in and around country music. Was raised up around rock and roll music. I know what that is about. And I know that country music helped destroy our family as we were growing up. It wasn't the only thing, but it contributed to the destruction of our family being split up when the three children of us were very young. So sin is not a joke to me. And this is very serious business. I've been told, well, you need to lighten up and you don't know how to have fun. And I'm just going to say to you this evening that the people that oppose me the most in my preaching is professing Christians. They're the ones that bring the most opposition. What is so interesting is that many times the world will just admit the truth and what some, you know, what the music is all about. But it's professing Christians that will debate and argue with you. As we come here, you'll notice with me as we begin reading in verse 1 of this chapter, we're going to come back to verse 16 in a few moments. And I am thankful, by the way, for a few people over the years that have given warning. There's been, I'm not going to mention names here tonight, but I can name you some preachers over the years that I've known that have given warning when it comes to the music issue. And I'm thankful for some of those, but there's very few today that are warning. We find here, as we come to verse 1, that the Lord tells us, He said, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Now notice what He begins to say in view of our position that we have in Christ. Notice what He begins to say in verse 5. The first word is mortify. He said, mortify therefore with your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection. That has to do with uncontrolled passions and lust. And He said, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, that's evil desires. And He says, in covetousness, which is idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. Notice now as we come to verse 8, He said, but now ye also put off these things. He lists several sins, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. He says in verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. He comes to verse 12, and he says we are in this chapter we've put off some things, and we have put on some things. And I want to read from verse 12 in just a moment, but I want you to listen to this. As we come to this subject, Duck the Halls' Christmas album was released October the 29th, just a matter of weeks ago. It was advertised, and the reason I'm going to be dealing a lot with country music stars, is because it was advertised as country music Christmas album. Here's a quote, and it says, "Duck Dynasty wades into country music waters with holiday album." Another quote, "The Duck Dynasty stars gather some star talent within the country world for Duck the Halls." Of course, it was produced in Nashville. And here's another quote, says, "Country stars shine with Duck Dynasty Christmas album." Here's another quote, said, "The album features singing traditional Christmas carols and duck-themed songs." Another quote, "Duck Dynasty," it says, "Duck the Halls debut at number one on the country album charts and number four on the top 200 album charts. It was a top seller in the first week." Now, here's something about their merchandise. It says, by the end of 2013, the Dynasty product tie-in will have raked in a massive $400 million in revenue. Sales in Walmart alone will account for about half of the bounty. And so this album is advertised as a country music Christmas album. As a matter of fact, the family, I've got their quote, "The family boasts, they brag about their love for country music. They're constantly appearing at country music awards with country music stars and so forth." Now, let's say just a few things about country music. This is going to be the first point. I got 3 points up here. The abomination of country music. Number two, the artist chosen for the album. And number three, the songs on the album and the artist. I've got them written here. I'll give those to you in just a moment. Now, he said in verse 12, he said, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God." And he mentions several things in this passage again that we're to put on and that we're to take off. He says in verse 14, he said, "And above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body," and he said, "and be ye thankful." Now, coming back to our text here, he says in verse 16, he said, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Now, country music, and I preached a message 2 years ago, September the 4th, 2011, titled Country Music, and I gave the history of it, the danger, and the false gospel of country music. I believe it has a honky-tonk gospel. And why do I say that? Many professing Christians have the same religion and gospel today as the country music stars, in other words, a little bit of Jesus and a whole lot of the world. Now, country music is synonymous with many words. For instance, like adultery and cheating, divorce, drunkenness, rebellion. We could go on with a list of synonyms. Country music is the devil's tool. And I'm telling you, those that sing country music, they are singing for the devil. They're singing for Satan. And it is not just, the country music is not just about life and country things, or things country as they put it. It is as dangerous as rock and roll music. Sometimes I think it is more dangerous because you can hear and understand the words. But it is very dangerous. It has the beat and the rhythm that is satanic and the all the things that go along with it. It is a cesspool of filth and garbage. And the industry of country music is wicked. Now, he says here for you and I as Christians. Now, we're not talking about the lost world. They can do whatever they want to do. Nothing surprises me with the world. What shocks me is to hear professing Christians want to argue and debate with you over these things. Now, I want you to notice, he says in verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." Notice this, teaching and admonishing one another. Here's the type of music that you and I are to sing. He says psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. He said whatsoever in verse 17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. In chapter 4 and verse 6, He said, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how ye ought to answer every man. What kind of music are we to sing? Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. This is Christian music. There is a vast difference between church music and barroom music. All music is spiritual and all music has a message. It can either be good or bad. It can either be sacred or secular. Psalms 119:54 says, thy statutes have been my songs. And music is not for entertainment, it is for edification. We should never lose sight of that. The music, good music, as we sing, as we try to sing here, it will bring our hearts and minds to the Lord, draw us to thinking about Him. Country music, rock and roll music, classical music, pop music, all this music that's out there in the world, it does not draw anyone to Jesus Christ. So in verse 16, very clearly, He says the kind of music that we are to listen to is psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. In Ephesians 5, if you would turn there, we basically have the same thing worded just a little bit differently. We're even told in Ephesians 5, verses 10 through 12, to prove all things. Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 19, he says that he speaks of the sinful man, the unconverted man, and we know that this music appeals to the sinful Adamic nature, that is the music of the world. But notice with me as we come to Ephesians, this time in chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5. And I want you to keep in mind that in Colossians chapter 3, I believe it's verse 5, in Ephesians 5 and 5, he speaks of covetousness, which is idolatry. We may say more about that later on. But he says here in this passage, you'll notice with me, in Ephesians 5, verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Notice this. In this passage, be filled with the Spirit. He also tells us here the consequences of the fruit of the Spirit. He said in verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, for time's sake, I'm just picking out a few verses here and there. I would challenge you to read the whole context, but I want you to turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 22. Now, notice with me in Ezekiel chapter 22. There was a book that was written this year, 2013, by a journalist, I think is Deborah Evans Price, and the book is called Country Faith. And it, again, it's recently written that speaks of country music and Scripture go well together, as she says in this book. There's about 56 stars that speak of their faith. This new book showcases favorite Bible verses from country music's biggest artist. The entire Gospel of Mark is in the back of the book, the New International Version. For instance, Charlie Daniels. Now, I won't go through all of them, but Charlie Daniels. Does anybody know anything about him? A wicked singer for many years. His favorite text is Psalms 91. He lists Carrie Underwood and just go through a list of these country stars. What has been interesting to me growing up in the South, growing up around country music, even though I really didn't care that much for it, I, as a young person, listened more to rock and roll than I did the country music. Southerners are notorious in the Bible Belt to mix Christianity and carnality. I'm not saying this is good, but they're notorious for mixing it. In other words, it's country. They mix all of these things together. Many country music stars come from a Southern gospel background. Many of them grew up in church. I'm not saying they were all good churches. And these stars, many of them will tell you they got saved, their life never changes, and they just add Jesus to the mix. Give you an example, George Jones, he died this year. And I was doing some research, and somebody told me that he had died this year, so I typed his name in and looking for some things, and two short video clips of him. And one of them was singing with the Kingsmen Quartet, singing the old Brush Harbors. Anybody remember that song? And then the other video clip was that he was singing about getting drunk, and he looked like he was drunk on stage. See what they've done? They know how to do this. Country music stars are better. Many rock and rollers just tell you they're worshiping the devil, you know. But many of the country music stars, they want to be a Christian and at the same time live for the devil. I'll give an example. Hee-Haw in the 60s was a godless weekly program. And toward the end of every program, they sang a gospel song. It had half-naked women on it, usually sitting and laying in suggestive positions. I'm quoting now. Flirting jokes, men and women flirting. And here is a quote. It says here that reprobate playboy Hugh Hefner even made guest appearances on the show. Even some of the women who posed on Hee-Haw have been featured in Playboy magazine. It was all about country music and country music stars, and they were just having a big time. We grew up religiously watching this thing. We thought it was one of the greatest things, you know, on television. And after I got saved, I found out that it was birthed out of hell. But the point is it's all about country music, and, you know, they're just laughing and jesting and joking, and again, you've got immodesty and all of these things on there. And at the end of every show, they would get real spiritual and sing Amazing Grace or some gospel hymn. So they mix these things together. Now the Bible tells us in 1 John 4, one, that we're to try the spirits. We're to test the spirits in men. The Bible speaks in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 5, the songs of fools. In Luke chapter 16 and verse 15, God says that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. I'm saying to you, the country music is a cesspool of filth. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5, it says that in the last days have a form of godliness, but denying the power, he said, from such turn away. Turn away from these. And that's what we find in the book of Ephesians. I didn't finish reading there, but in Ephesians 5, he tells you, he talks about jesting, which is laughter at the expense of decency. He talks about several things, the things that are done in darkness and so forth. He says we are to separate from those things. Now, you notice with me, in the book of Ezekiel, we find here in chapter 22, and he says, that, notice with me in verse 26, and her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. Here's what I'm after. Notice they have put no difference between the holy and the profane, neither have they showed differences between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. They put no difference. He talks about the priests. He talks about 27, the princes. He talks about verse 28, the prophets. And then in verse 29, he talks about the people of Israel. And so they put no difference between that which is holy and that which is profane. And then he says in verse 30, I want you to notice here, in verse 30, he says, "And I sought a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it." But notice the last four words. We're talking about a whole nation. "But I found none." Therefore, he poured out his indignation upon them in verse 31. Well, turn with me, please, to 1 Kings in chapter 18. Notice with me in 1 Kings chapter 18. And we'll be reading, we'll begin in verse 19, 1 Kings chapter 18. All right? The abomination of country music. Okay? Point number one. It's a cesspool of filth. It's a satanic and wicked industry. And Nashville, Tennessee is filled with it. The second thing I want to point out is the particular artist that were chosen for, keep in mind, this Christmas album. This Christmas Christmas, this Christmas supposed to be about Christ, this Christmas album. Keep in mind, that's what this is supposed to be. We know what it is. We know it's for money, it's for worldliness, it's for gain, it's for profit. We know what it's all about. A lot of people are deceived about it. We're not deceived about it. The artists, here they are. I've got four of them. These are country music artists. And a few of these, one of them, I knew the name, been around for 40 years. The others, I had to do research. Well, I did research on all of them. Never knew their names because I don't listen to country music. George Strait, Luke Bryan, Alison Krauss, and Josh Turner. George Strait is about 61 years of age. Luke Bryan is about 37. Alison Krauss is about 42, and Josh Turner around 35 years of age. These are the stars, the country music stars, and their music, most of it is very sensual, satanic beat. In other words, it's just worldly, secular music. The Roberson family of Duck Dynasty chose four country music singers to participate in the production of this Christmas album. We can learn a lot about people by who their friends are and who their associates are. And keep in mind, this is a Christmas album. It's supposed to be about Christ. All sing a little Jesus and a whole lot of the world. That's what most do today. Any of these stars can sing in a church or they can sing in a bar. It doesn't matter. They can do it either way. Now, first of all, let's consider George Strait. And let's read here, first of all, in 1 Kings chapter 18. You say, well, this has nothing to do with me. It'll have to do with your family, your friends, your co-workers, your relatives. I promise you that you will have opportunities. The man from Nebraska today that sent a letter to us, he said, I will take the material that you have given in this message. And he said, the next time, and I'm probably going to misquoting him, but he said, the next time somebody starts talking about the jesting and the funny things that Cy and some of them saying here, he says, I'm going to give them the Word of God. So this is why I preach this to you tonight. He says here, notice with me, this is Elijah. And in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 19, it says this, 1 Kings chapter 18. Let's read verse 21 instead. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. This is a showdown here in Israel between the Baal worshippers and the prophet of God. And Elijah was alone as far as a prophet of God, according to verse 22. And in verse 17 through verse 22, Elijah was accused of troubling Israel, and the prophet said unto the king, he said, you're the one, and your sin is what troubled this nation. And in chapter 19, verse 10, Elijah said that he was very jealous for the Word of God. So he stood up against all of the Baal worshippers. And country music is led by Baal, by Satan. It has nothing to do with God and godliness or any of those kind of things. Now let me go through these. I've got to do some quoting here and some things that I've written down, some quotes by from others as well. But let's take George Strait. My opinion, he's a little crooked. But let's take him for example. And he's been singing for over 40 years. Now, I have nothing against the man. Personally have nothing against him. I've never met him. Don't ever plan to meet him. So I'm not here to criticize the man. He has the right to do whatever he wants to do. But my problem is the Christian people that tell me they love God and they're following this stuff. That's who I'm talking to. I'm talking to Christian people. And so this singer, just a week or so ago, he won the 2013 Country Music Award Entertainer of the Year. Many of his songs glorify sexual immorality and drinking. He sings of marriage, of fornication, of adultery, of crime, of running from the law, gambling. Have I said drinking yet? How many times? And drinking. Okay? A Texas school banned a song by him that encouraged sexual immorality in the students that was titled Check Yes or No. And here's some of his songs that he either sings or has written or both. You'll Be There. Give It Away. The Seashores of Old Mexico. Now, I'm not going to get into many of the lyrics. I'm not going to read them from the pulpit. I will read just a few. Overnight Mail. Drinking Man. Living for the Night. The Cowboy Rides Away. You Look So Good Tonight. Unwound. All my exes live in Texas. I Hate Everything. How About Them Cowgirls? And there's one I'm not even going to mention the title. The song, You'll Be There, from 2005 album, Somewhere Down in Texas, speaks of a way of getting into heaven apart from being born again. He's asking in the song, he's asking someone up there to put in a good word for him. The song is sung on many Christian radio stations. He's speaking of praying and streets of gold and God and the other side. But nothing about true salvation. The song, and many, all of these artists now have music videos. And the music videos are even worse than the songs because you've got the acting out of things in the music videos. Everybody's got music videos now. And so the song, The Seashores of Old Mexico, speaks of promoting adultery. The song is about a Mexican wife who abandons her Mexican husband to run off with a gringo, which is him. And it promotes drinking and crime and sin and rebellion against God. And the music video is very wicked. The song Overnight Mail is about a one-night stand. I'm not going to read any of the words. I don't think that would be edifying. The song Unwound is about drinking and separation, whiskey bound. It has to do with after being kicked out of the house because he was committing adultery against his wife. This is the kind of stuff that we see with country music artists. And again, they can sing in a church one week, they can sing in a bar the next week, and they can mix all of this together and talk about Jesus same time, talk about drinking and committing all sorts of immorality. And that's why that Isaiah chapter 5 tells us, woe unto them. Woe unto them. You know, let me go there and just make sure that I quote that correctly. Just slipped my mind a couple of words in that. I don't want to mess it up. A tremendous verse. I think we read that this morning and made mention of it. And he said, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them. When God says woe, you better stop. Now, let's come to the next one. Luke Bryan. We're talking about the particular artist chosen for this album. Now listen, if you were going to produce a Christmas album and you call yourself Christians, You're speaking in churches. You say you're promoting Christ. Okay? You wouldn't be selling wine at Walmart for one thing. And but here's the thing. And let's say that you need somebody to help your family, sing. You need somebody to kind of help your family sing. Who are you going to choose? Are you going to choose reprobates? Or are you going to try to find somebody that will truly sing for the Lord? Luke Bryan. Here is the songs that he sings, just a few, or songs that he wrote, or both. One of them is titled, Take My Drunk, and I'll just leave the next word out, Home. That's the title of the song. He's got songs All My Friends Say. One, Been Drinking and Wasting Bullets. Another, Drink a Beer. Crash My Party. Don't Want This Night to End. One is titled Buddies. One is titled Bad Romance. And on the story goes. This man is married, with children, professes Jesus Christ as his Savior, and yet sings immoral songs, does provocative things on stage, dancing and cursing, and talks about immorality, and talks about drinking. Professes Christ and still yet sings about getting drunk and committing immorality, and his music videos are wicked and vile. He sang Pray About Everything, a religious song on his debut album of 2007, and 5 years later he's singing about sexual immorality in a song titled I Don't Want This Night to End. He starts talking about words, and the words imply fornication, immorality, and adultery. He sings a song titled Buddies, and it's about hanging out with these buddies, drinking and fighting and running from the law. I'm giving you the mild stuff, okay? Because I don't have a habit of quoting too many things from the pulpit. So I'm giving you the mild stuff. I have the words of some of these songs. And one song says, You Don't Know Me, Jack, is a tribute, or supposed to be a tribute to Jack Daniels. One song says, All My Friends Say, and the whole song is about getting drunk. About getting drunk. This is one that they chose for the album. Christmas album that's supposed to be about Christ and His birth. Okay? Alison Krauss. She sings, there's music videos, she's been around in the country music scene for a number of years. She sang religious and sinful songs. Her dress many times is very inappropriate. She's got music videos that are very, very suggestive. Here's some of the songs mixed back and forth between sacred and secular. Whiskey Lullaby. I'll Fly Away. Let Me Touch You for a While. Down to the River and Pray. Restless. Christmas Songs. And on the story goes. Some of them I don't even want to read the titles. Some of the people that she sings with or have sang with is Vince Gill, Brad Paisley, and Taylor Swift, and one, Robert Plant, with the band Led Zeppelin. And there's one song, I have the words laying here on the pulpit, titled Black Dog, that she sings with Robert Plant. Led Zeppelin was involved in the occult, very wicked people, rock and roll stars. And all you got to do is hear the words, read the words, and you can see what this song is all about. She sings a song, Let Me Touch You for a While. Again, very provocative. It's all about immorality. She sings one song with another country artist, Whiskey Lullaby. This is Brad Paisley. Speaks of the angels sang a whiskey lullaby. And the music video is all about a man finding his wife with another man. He drank himself to death, and then she later drank herself. It's very depressing stuff. You know, this is not the things you want to meditate upon. And then they both kill themselves drinking, and then they later reunite in heaven and, you know, happy ever after, according to the song or the music video. One secular writer that loves her music, and here's what he said. He said, she loves to sing with an intimate, whispering tone, like country music pillow talk, and that sensuality is part of what makes her so entrancing. How true, see? He admits he loves the lady's music. He loves to hear her sing. He's a secular writer about country music and other things, and he's telling you the truth. He likes the sensuality and the tone of the voice and the whispering tone and all of this. And he said it's country music pillow talk. And he's just telling you the truth, but a Christian will stand up and say, oh no, that's not the way it is. Those who write the songs many times will tell you what the songs are all about. All right, Josh Turner. I found his testimony. Probably got the best testimony of all of them. He professes to be a Christian, but some of his song, Your Man, Why Don't We Just Dance? Would You Go With Me? Firecracker, Time Is Love, Me and God, Long Back Black Train, Angels Fall Sometimes, and on the story goes. And he professes Christ, talks about Christ, but he says he's not called to be a Christian singer, but a country music singer. Again, the industry of country music is wicked and filthy, and it is vile. It's got a satanic beat, just like rock and roll, and he's got songs like Firecracker. It's got some immodest dress in it, the music video. One song, Your Man, and there's a music video acting out sensual moves and dancing, sleazy dress in this. And one song, Long Black Train, which is supposed to be a song to warn people about sin, and it's supposed to change people's lives. This is what these artists are all about that were chosen by the supposedly Christian family that put out a supposedly Christmas CD that is about Jesus Christ. Now let's come now to the songs on the Christmas album. I want you to turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Now again, I know this is, it just kind of seems to drag out with you, but it will be a help to you one of these days when you, and hopefully soon, as people bring these things to your attention, whether it be this family or this album or some other type of music, this will be a help and you'll be able to talk to them. Now, what about the songs, the particular songs on the Christmas album? I want to give you a list of them real quick and just make just a few comments about them. Now, when it comes to the subject of Christmas, you and I know that Christmas in general is not about Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? It is not about Jesus Christ. Money is the reason for the season. And you and I know that. And we have no idea when Jesus Christ was born. And we're never told to celebrate His birth. People make merchandise of the Lord Jesus Christ. We understand it's not about Him. It's about us. And we'll have some, many people have some little fake devotion on Christmas morning and pretend to be a little bit religious. But we know that it's about, it is a merchant's holiday. Do we not know that? It is a merchant's holiday. We don't even participate in it, and we honor the Lord around that time of year more than 99% of the people who say they celebrate it. We take the opportunity to preach on His birth. We take the opportunity to witness, and we have opportunities everywhere we go to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ during this time of year. I literally honor His name and lift Him up during the Christmas season, even though we do not participate. It seems like everybody, over the years, that they've got a Christmas album because they know it sells. Even Willie Nelson has a Christmas album out. And he's got one song about cowboy sodomites praising them, but he's got a Christmas album. Amy Grant, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, John Lennon years ago, Bruce Springsteen, Billy Idol. Everybody's got a Christmas album because it makes money. It is not about Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? It's just the truth. You can honor the Lord, but I'm telling you, this time when we get into this season, we're going to start in it in just a few weeks. It is not about Jesus Christ. It's a day of profit, and it's a day where bondage to the world system, basically. Now, I'm going to be reading in 1 Timothy chapter 6, and I want to read in verse 10, but I want to back up and read, and I'm going to read here in one other passage, and we're going to close in a few moments. But there's 14 tracks on this Christmas album. And many have country rock beat. Say, satanic sensual beat. Most of the songs do. It's a mixture between the sacred and the secular. I'll give you an example. There's A Silent Night, and then there's Baby, It's Cold Outside. There's A Way in the Manger, and then there's A Hairy Christmas. Back and forth. Kind of reminds me of some folks that played around with the classical music stuff and have a little Beethoven and then have a little Amazing Grace. You know, have a little Tchaikovsky and then have a little I Love Jesus. You know, kind of mixture all this stuff together. That's what the country music artists, they do the same thing. Now here are the songs. Remind me to read here in just a moment, but I don't want to lose track of time. But listen to this. The first song on the album, I'm just going to go through these and then I'll read here. We're going to close in Philippians chapter 4. And Raging Cajun Redneck Christmas. Hard beat, country beat, and it's basically speaking of toys and Barbie dolls and dancing Santas and joy to the world and lights. And it ends with this. When the song ends, he's talking about the Santa outside and the lights and the reindeers all in the yard and whatever. And he says, this is Willie, someone has put reindeers in a naughty poses. The second song, I'll Be Home for Christmas. Worldly, sensual, beat, nothing about Jesus Christ. Sung by one of the family. The third one is, You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch, Uncle Si. It's just foolish and stupid. The whole thing, nothing about Jesus Christ. The fourth one, George Strait is singing or participating in this with Phil. And it's a country beat foolishness called Country Cookies. So if you say it's country, then you can get by with anything if you're a Southerner. The fifth one, Away in the Manger. Again, a country sound, not as bad as some of the others. The sixth one is A Hairy Christmas. Willie and Luke Bryan, I already told you what Luke Bryan is all about. He's a wicked man that professes Christ as Savior. He's a wicked man. And here, this song is foolish with a country throbbing beat. And here's two quotes. One quote that's advertising, promoting this, and this is taken from the tasteofcountry.com, advertising the album. It says, Brian, talking about Luke Bryan, said, Brian seems as comfortable singing about shotguns and rented camels as he does pretty women in tight blue jeans. And that's all he sings about, is pretty women in tight blue jeans and drinking and immorality. So he's comfortable on this Christmas album singing about shotguns and camels, which has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. But they're admitting the kind of person that he is and the kind of songs that he sings. And another quote, the key lyrics, they're promoting this. The key lyrics is this, I'm quote now, like Jesus and Santa Claus. We got love behind these beards, wishing you a hairy Christmas and a happy, happy, happy New Year. That's the key lyrics in this stupid song. Do you really want these people singing about your Savior? Do you really want your children, your family being influenced by this family, the Robinson family, or any of these country music stars? Absolutely not. Here's another song. Listen to this. By the way, just turn to Philippians chapter 4. I was going to deal with the covetous thing there. I'm just going to skip that. I'm going to close in Philippians 4 because I fear of running out of time. I want to get all this on one CD. But here's the seventh, number seven. And, oh, this is a real spiritual one. Baby, it's cold outside. Now, sung by the Robertson family, a man and his wife, one of the brothers and his wife. But this song is secular. It is sensual. It is seductive. It is sleazy. And it is sinful. Got all those S's in there, if you remember that. It's America's secular Christmas song. The song was written in the 1940s, and it's a conversation between two people marked by a wolf and a mouse. The writer performed it at parties with his wife, who wrote the male part as the wolf and the female part as the mouse. Now, this is on the Christmas album, okay? And it's been sung by many over the years. I mean by many. But all I got to do is tell you one. Dean Martin loved this song and sang it. And that ought to tell you all about the song. It's about a woman who stops by a man's house for a visit. He tries to keep her from leaving. He seduces her, gives her a drink. She asks what's in the drink. But it sounds like as though she wants to be seduced. In the end, she wonders also, what will her father think? What will her mother think? What will her brother and sister think? What will the neighbors think if I stay here tonight? This is what the song is about. And the music does not lead you to Jesus Christ. It's wicked as hell. You say, well, this angers you. It does anger me that Christians can't wake up and see the stupidity and the wickedness and the blasphemy. The eighth song is Duck the Halls. And this is the family squawking on a bunch of duck calls, showcasing what they can do on the duck calls. The next one is Camouflage and Christmas Lights. This is number nine. Again, a country beat of Nashville. And one of the sons is singing this. The tenth one is Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Oh, that really leads me to Jesus Christ. Isn't that just wonderful? And the 11th is the night before Christmas, and there's a off-color word that Psy using this has no business using. The 12th song is Why I Love Christmas. And again, Josh Turner is singing with Missy Robinson in this. Again, it's a country music beat talking about Santa and Jesus. And all these kind of... I don't appreciate people mixing Santa Claus with my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That angers me. And then the last two. The last two tracks. You've got to get this Silent Night in there with the whole family singing. You've got to do that, right? Got to have a little Jesus and a whole lot of world and foolishness. And then Phil prays at the end and Willie has some closing words. Must get Jesus in all this carnality so that the Christians will be deceived and purchase this and listen to it through the holidays. The Bible says, let not blessings and cursing proceed out of the same mouth. Notice in Philippians chapter 4, we're going to bring this to a close. I could say a whole lot more. I could spend a whole lot more time on the actual songs itself, but I believe I've said just about enough. Notice with me in Philippians chapter 4, and I'm going to close in verse 8. And I'm going to give you just a few more verses, and then we're going to close in this passage. Matthew 7:20, by their fruits you shall know them. Jude, verses 3 and 4, tells us in that passage that those will turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 2 through 5, we're in a war. There is a battle for our minds and for our hearts. There's two kingdoms, the kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 and 18, he says, come out and touch not the unclean things. Separate yourself. We're not to join them. Romans chapter 2, verse 24. The name of God, the apostle said, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you. Speaking of the Jews, he said that the Jews, he said, you have the law, you have the word of God, you have the truth. And it said, and he said, you did not obey it. Do you realize that if you know the truth and you don't obey the truth, then we blaspheme the name of God through our actions? Did you know that? You can know the truth and speak of the truth, but if our actions are contrary, then it is blasphemy of the Word of God. Where is the discernment today? I had an 80-year-old person tell me not long ago, what is wrong with country music? I had an 80-year-old person, their cell phone rung here recently, and it's a bunch of rock and roll, 80 years old, rock and roll music as the ringtone on the cell phone. I had somebody who's 62 years of age recently said, what's wrong with Duck Dynasty? They are good Christian people. And I had a person that was 45 years of age again says, what is wrong with this show? Well, the Bible said here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, what's the next word? Think on these things. I'm saying to you that country music does not lead our thoughts or does not lead us to pure meditations. We are to aim high, not low. We are not to water down the truth of the Word of God. And I'm saying to you again, not being, I know I've said a lot about the family and these music stars. My goal is not to hurt them or to be critical of them. My goal is to warn Christian people that will listen to this message and this CD, is to warn them that this is blasphemy. It is sacrilege. And we'll stop right there.